WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It has been a lovely cruise here this week on my 30th anniversary. If you've checked out Kenny Albert, at some point Andy Mueller is going to check in. If you've been listening to AM 1570, you probably heard some old school storytelling from an old buddy of mine named Tom Robinson, amongst some others. Mark Hyman was even on this week, sort of serendipitously. That's a good word for Hyman down at the Philip Merrill School of Journalism, where I taught him a thing or two. One of the really fun things we've done this week, we went to Costas and we let ourselves play with the Maryland Lottery, and John Martin came by and Rob Santoni came by from Wise. And you know, I'm taking care of sponsors, taking care of people. It's the holidays. We're doing a lot with charity and the Maryland Food Bank through Wise. This week we've also had members of the Baltimore Magazine folks on. I ran into Michael Teitelbaum the other night at the Baltimore Banner event. But they're doing Rofo Nation, like a Chicken Palooza winter thing at Baltimore Magazine, and I busted out my Chicken Palooza shirt, and I'm kind of embarrassed I didn't wear it during the Mighty Max segment. And all of our Royal Farms segments from Owings Mills with Luke are with love with Royal Farms, and I usually break out my Western fries and my chicken box and whatnot. But Luke, they're on the cover of B-Mag, and we got into a debate, very spirited debate, about Western fries. Max Weiss and I had that happen. So I just want to give some shout out and love. And here's the deal. And I've told them that I'm going to promote this, okay? So I'm going to do something really special here. And I bet you don't even know this, but Christmas Day, Rofobe Rewards members only, all day, free any size coffee. Luke, have you gotten a coffee at Rofo lately? Because I went in and I have some friends doing some work for me, and I wound up getting like four of these giant foot soaker Jamaican Blue Mountain coffees right out, just like Justin Tucker does on the commercial. Mm-hmm. No different. You push a button and boom, comes right out. But on Christmas Day, if you're a Rofo Rewards member, it's free coffee all day. So there you have it. Not just for you and me, you know, breaking the rules as Rofo spokespeople, although I'm not allowed to scratch lottery tickets. I learned that from John Martin the other day. He gave me the stink eye on that because we're having some fun about stocking stuffing. How are you? Happy holidays to you. And most importantly, is Lamar going to play, man? Tell me now. I need to know.
Whew, that's been the question all week. I guess with the side of COVID positive tests around the league and even late in the week for the Ravens as we get to Sunday, and it kind of feels like that unsettling race to game day at this point, although the Ravens certainly at this point not in the same position as some other teams around the league. But Lamar has been the question. It's been the big story of the week. I think when the Ravens signed Josh Johnson away from the New York Jets practice squad, we know how they've operated with the salary cap so tight this year. How many weeks this year have they played with short of a 53-man roster? Not that they've been short on game day, but just not filling roster spots because, hey, if you can bring a practice squad guy up and pay him a little bit less and save a few cap dollars here and there, the fact that they brought Josh Johnson in on Wednesday the way they did, the fact that they were working overtime after Thursday's practice, I was going to my car, practice was over Thursday afternoon, and I could see on the far field, I didn't have my binoculars, I wasn't spying if John Harbaugh was listening, but I saw a few members of the staff and a player with a black quarterback jersey on working a little bit of overtime. They're trying to get Josh Johnson up to speed. Lamar hasn't practiced until, you know, at the very least late in the week. I think you read the tea leaves, the fact that he was carted off in Cleveland on Sunday, the fact that he was ruled out to start the second half. I'm not gonna say it's impossible because, hey, he kind of fits the description of that select group of players that can play without being practicing all week. But at the same time, I think you look at all those clues, it seems to be trending towards Tyler Huntley starting on Sunday. And let's call a spade a spade. But despite the fact that I'm contradicting myself based on what I just said, Lamar Jackson struggling, has been struggling on top of now having a physical issue. Do you really want to push him too hard if he is not close to 100% to go out there against the Green Bay Packers when you have a massive trip to Cincinnati the day after Christmas? I think you have to consider that. John Harbaugh dismissed that, said that's not a factor, but how could it not be a factor? So long story short, I don't know for sure because the Ravens, yeah, they did seem much more optimistic at the beginning of the week, but if you read the tea leaves, you look at all the evidence, it seems to be mounting against Lamar Jackson being out there on Sunday. But there's still time, between now and then. So we'll just have to see how the weekend develops and if that ankle is feeling better. I mean, the good news is it's not some catastrophic injury. It's not a high ankle sprain, according to the team. But that doesn't mean a low ankle sprain is going to mean you're ready to play football 7 days after it happens. So again, doesn't seem to be looking good in that way. But in the meantime, Tyler Huntley getting all the starter reps, and we saw how he played in Cleveland without the starter reps all week. So you're hoping against the Packers defense that I think is pretty good, but certainly not invincible. If you can get the running game going and get Snoop Huntley out in open space the way you do with Lamar, and he can make some plays, here and there in the passing game, you might have a shot, especially if, you can pop a return or block a kick or something along those lines, which, by the way, another huge edge. Ravens, best special teams in the NFL. Green Bay, according to Football Outsiders efficiency, dead last. And if you watch that Sunday night game against the Bears, you could kind of see why. So
let's get 10 points out of that. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. If you can do something along those lines, Justin Tucker, you have Tucker, you get a return, you block a kick. That could be a great equalizer in giving the Ravens a chance in a game that they're very clearly the underdog, even if you had an assurance that Lamar Jackson was going to be able to play at some level, somewhat close to 100%.
I want to once again quote the great Marvin Lewis, Saint Marvin, as I call him around here. I can't believe people bet on this stuff, right? I mean, like, as we go into this, I talked to John Martin this week about that. We were laughing Rob Santoni out of Costas. I'm like, you have no idea if he's going to play. They're going to be coy about it, if not dishonest about it, if they have, they don't care. And so, that's why I said I'd rather just play blackjack at this point, especially when it comes to this, and sort of the high wire tightrope act that they've played all year long, and now COVID's come to town, I'm not going to let it go that these guys have been running around town doing charity events, nice things, great community autographs for money, whatever they're doing, right? But rubbing up against the great unwashed, or as I say in Dundalk, the great unwashed, and then guys are popping COVID. Listen, I've been out amongst the great unwashed. I'm an elbow bumper, famously not loving anymore. You know what I mean? Famously, stay a little bit of distance. I've been changing spit guard, everything that I can possibly do to make sure I don't participate in hurting my loved ones. I got to get my booster this week. I'm hoping that maybe a little downtime around the holiday that will work for me. That if I were ill, being ill on Christmas doesn't sound like a lot of fun to the rest of you. Just sounds like leftover split pea soup to me from Wise Markets. But please get your booster. I'm telling everybody to do that. I had Todd Crandall on this week and had Tom Quirk on last week, local politicians, and Tom McMillan has been on this week as well, that we want to keep everybody safe. But for the players and safety and the league and games and the Browns and teams, the Rams, teams in contention, and Lord knows, dude, you and I tape these things late, even though we talk about Western fries and fried chicken from Rofo at 6 o'clock in the morning, because literally, in the immortal words of Phil Savage, you never know what's going to happen after dark, right? At this point, when it comes to the COVID situation and the team and, who touches whom and whose kids come home from school and wives are, running for office. And Lord knows, right, what's going on when people are touching people and there's phase one and phase two and code red. And here comes the Players Association and who's vaccinated and who's not. But who's going to get to post? Who's going to play on Sunday? You never know at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't. And I mean, it's real easy to just say, well, the players need to do this. And of course, the league said on Thursday afternoon they're going into tighter protocols. And
I know what they're not doing. They're not touching media members. They can touch business owners, and they're not touching media. So, they're not getting any questions. You dropped the winning touchdown pass this week. Chad Steele may or may not bring him out to talk to, you know, right. So there's that going on. And listen, it should be going on. I'm fine with that. But then there's half the team popping dirty and they're going to play football games, man. Like we watched the Broncos run around without quarterbacks last year.
Yeah.
And now we're getting Josh Johnson out on the field and John's going to be mad at you. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's insane, but Josh Johnson might be running around playing football by 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Right. It's insane. But let's also remember, this is a much higher, a much more highly vaccinated population than the general public. So from that
Thank
standpoint.
Thank you, Commissioner Jones. Good work.
But my point is, and this is where I feel on a societal level too, we have, and you know, I'm not alone in bringing this up. I saw Daryl Ryder, a good friend of our show, covers the Browns, has covered the Browns for a long time, and he brought this up. And look, he's someone that I know has taken COVID very seriously, whatever that means to varying degrees. But he said, we're talking about vaccinated players. We're talking about boosters that are available. We have viral treatments. You know, we're going to have dozens and dozens of players in the NFL this week that aren't going to play, even with an accelerated protocol to return to play, who have no symptoms whatsoever. And I guess my question is, and I don't mean this to be right now, but in a general sense, and this is not an NFL thing, this is a society thing. I'd like to know what our end game is from the standpoint of, we have vaccines, we have boosters, we have viral treatments and pills that are being developed.
And
we
masks.
Have antibody treatments. We have all of that, but I mean, what's the end game? Do we really, like, are we going for COVID zero? Because that's the war on terror. That's the war on drugs. That's not going to happen. You know, we're not going to eliminate this. I have not seen any, and I'm not an expert. I'm reading stuff from people that I trust who have opined on this that are medical experts and scientists. I don't think we're going to do that. And I think the cost would be so incredibly damaging, like keeping players in house arrest indefinitely forever. I just don't know what we're going to try to accomplish long term from that standpoint. I don't know what the perfect solution is either, Nestor, but I don't know.
We're on a high wave right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, we're in deep water. We're kind of riding it out. I mean, you and I are trying to make Super Bowl plans. So, like, let's interject into this a little bit as to how it sort of acts for us in the media way. Or, like, I'm thinking, like, would there be a bus to Buffalo? You know, would there be a trip to Foxborough? Would I want to go on it? Am I happy I wasn't in Pittsburgh last week, or not going to be in Cleveland, or not going to Cincinnati, or that I didn't invest in Billy Joel tickets in New York on Monday night to go up, because I sort of want to do that. I want to have friggin' fun too, right? Like, you know what I mean? I see the Foo Fighters tickets going on sale in Merriweather next May and think it give me some of that. And like, but I'm also pragmatic that we're going to be among 60,000 people on Sunday. There's a football game. Chuck Clark's not going to be participating, right? I mean, amongst probably others between now and then, because that's where we are on the high wave of the virus, in the same way we were that way in various points last year when the Ravens were playing Wednesday afternoon football in Pittsburgh with RG3. So the games are going to get sloppy, and they're going to be harder to bet on, or better to bet on if you're a sharp guy, right? Or whatever it is. And I know people sit around here and opine on that all day long, and I do more on society and like that than I do on fantasy football, as an example. But this is a really difficult managerial, media, network, marketing, charity, safety, player safety, human safety, kids at school coming home, like all of that, and seeing hospitals fill up's no joke either, right? So you say, what's the end game? The end game really has always been, let's not have the hospitals overloaded. And now I'm seeing people, nurses, 18%, and I don't, it's the first time I've said this on the air, and I don't wax too political with you, although I do most of the rest of the week. 18% of the medical community has left the medical community. Sort of probably some sort of strange thing like you leaving the teaching community, that whatever that number is, to say we're losing good people like you in the teaching community, or good medical people in the medical community, that is the overload. The overload isn't the NFL playing or not playing. The overload is Hopkins filling up and having a real problem here, or in any urban environment where people touch each other, which is sort of how all these football teams have, right? I mean, the Rams and the Browns, this is a reality. They're going to play without half their team this week, right?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I hear all that. I don't know. I mean, we're in a position now with Omicron. I guess this, and I know Dr. Sills for the NFL talked about this, and you know, I don't know what the solution is. I am pretty sure it's not to shut down the league, because that's what everyone wanted to do over and over and over last year. And they played football without vaccines, without any treatments, without many things that we have going for us now that we did not have a year ago.
And so, Tom Brady still won.
Yeah, well, right. And that's funny. You mentioned about not betting on this, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, well, the Kansas City Chiefs are entering the weekend number one in the AFC when we were leaving them for dead at, what, 3-4 earlier in the year. So, you know, so it comes full circle to bring it back to on the field, because, look, I don't think anyone has the perfect solution for what's happening with COVID. I don't view this as some kind of moral failing that the Browns or the Rams did anything overtly wrong in the same way that we kind of talked about it a year ago. You're talking about virtually all of these players who've tested positive, from what I understand, are players who are vaccinated. Now, we can talk certainly about wanting to get more people boosted, and I would not argue against that based on things. I recently got boosted. You know, I'm a very supportive of vaccines and all that. But at the same time, I also understand that these are young men in their 20s who aren't even necessarily going out and doing anything obscenely reckless. They might just be living. And I think we're at a point, and I've been at this point with the virus in general for a very long time, that I'm not viewing it as a moral failing if someone gets the virus. I think we're all going to get it at some point in time, with whether it's Omicron or some other form of this, just like any other viral, you know, respiratory viruses, things of that nature. We're all going to get this at some point. That's why it's so important to be vaccinated. That's why it's so important to get a booster. That's why it's, you know, important just to practice good general hygiene. It doesn't mean you lock yourself away forever. I'm not suggesting that, but that's where I keep going back to an understanding of where we're going from a long-term standpoint. You know, I personally just don't see this going away. It's going to be a matter of, you know, managing it. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean we stop doing everything permanently, but it's an understanding that we have to be realistic about our long-term expectations. And we know the vaccines do wonderful work in preventing very serious illness that forces hospitalization or worse outcomes, but we do know it does not completely stop you from getting the virus or completely stop you from transmitting it. So, you know, that's where we come back to personal responsibility of get vaccinated, because, you know, if we're going to partake and take part in society, you know, chances are you're probably going to get it at some point in time. So now we're seeing with Omicron something that is highly contagious. Knock on wood, it sounds like the early indicators are that it's not as serious, at least in populations that have been infected. But what do you do in terms of the NFL and what that means for players, whether they're completely asymptomatic or not? You know, that's where they're trying to work through it. And, you know, we've seen them tweak the protocols, which I don't have a problem with. You know, we are at a different point now than we were a year ago as it relates to vaccines and things of that nature. But
and they're listening to the doctors. They're, you know, for all these meatheads out there that may be football fans with their Trump flags out and their anti-vax and like whatever that is, even politically on both sides, anti-vax, whatever all that is, the league has made it very clear they're on the side of science and they need you vaccinated and they want you vaccinated. And Dick Cassis made that clear to everyone on the other side of the building, and like on and on and on. They have really, and I could kick them around for a whole bunch of stuff, and I do from time to time, but they haven't said there is no virus. We don't believe in they've listened to all of it. Like literally, right? All these leagues did. The NHL bubbling up, countries keeping players out of countries. Like, they followed the science, man. They've had to stay in business, even though Chuck Clark can't get out on the field as the quarterback of the team, bringing it back full circle, which is, how does this affect the Ravens? And my ability to bet on it on Sunday, Luke, I'm just going to keep being that guy, because now that it's out in the open, I'm still kind of a little blown away. Maybe like I was on weed early on, but it's going to take me a little while longer on this, I think, to even get through it, given, watching Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason give betting tips 5 minutes before the game is just really freaking weird to me. Same thing with Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long. So anyway, but I would just say this. It's not even about betting on it, although it's about betting on it, right? Is Lamar going to play? Is Chuck Clark going to play? What are the Ravens' chances of winning? And they've lost their quarterback on both sides of the ball here. A lot of folks don't know that. But in addition to all of this, that's gone on, and now they're going to go play a team that might win the Super Bowl in 6 weeks, right? Maybe.
Yeah, but I also think it's important to recognize that we are – that the league is tweaking the return to play protocols for, and let me stress this, fully vaccinated players who do not experience any symptoms. And look, that we know, we've known since the start of this year, it's been two negative tests in a 24-hour period. It's been tweaked now. And look, it's complicated. It has to do with cycle thresholds, which anyone who's read up on this, I'm familiar with the concept. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I've seen that. But it has to do with, different combinations of testing to test out and be able to return. And the one thing I will say, because I know plenty of people here in town were concerned about the Ravens as it pertained to the Browns having what they've dealt with this week with, upwards of 20-plus players testing positive. We also know, going back to last year, there has not been a single case or evidence of on-field transmission that we've seen, even going back to last year, where it was all unvaccinated players, unmasked players during games. So that's where you do take a little bit of a saving grace, even if you question the validity, how wise it is to try to accelerate the return for fully vaccinated asymptomatic players. So long story short, that gives Chuck Clark hypothetically a chance to return by Sunday. But again, we're talking about, they're trying to tweak it. They're trying to figure it out. Doesn't mean they're going to do everything right. They didn't do everything right last year. But I also know there were plenty of people last year who didn't even want these leagues to try, and they were able to pull it off. So I think that's where they do, as much as there's greed involved. And look, there was greed that was involved with it last year, but they played without fans in the stands last year, most places. They made sacrifices. They did certain things to try to alleviate the impact of the virus, to try to, they're going into more rigid protocols now for the time being.
It really is amazing. It's a lot of stuff where they talk one walk and walk another walk in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of lack of integrity. Just look at Daniel Snyder this week, who's a scumbag. I mean, a true life scumbag, a guy who's done awful things to people I know. And none of this is out of character that he's chasing around, witnesses who would have information. It's insane, and that the league is allowed that. But on the other side, the virus is one of those things. I mean, whether they've taken CTE, wink, wink, seriously or not, and what point they did or do or really care, certainly racism and the Colin Kaepernick thing, and how much they love America when they do the flyovers and take money from our government for all of that. Like, you can get into all of that, but the virus? Nah, I got nothing other than they've been responsible citizens because it's in their best interest, because they allegedly have done like they've gotten on the right side of CTE, even if it's just money and some stuff. I mean, the game causes the damage. They're never going to admit that, even though that's dishonest. Like on a 65 degree day here in Baltimore in December, admitting that global warming doesn't exist. But they've been very honest on this. And I applaud that. Playing without quarterbacks, I don't know if I want to watch it or applaud it. I'm with you. The games will go on this weekend, right? I mean, all the way through, they went home and Kennedy got shot, right? They're going to go on. But whether it's going to be good or good for the Browns or good for the Rams, right? I mean, I guess that's what we're talking about. It's competitive balance at this point, where if it happens to the Jets, nobody seems to care, right? But if it happens to the Rams or the Browns or the Patriots or the Chiefs or whatever, and if it happens in week 3 of January or whatever, I don't know, makes the Ravens smell better with a healthy Lamar running around for a Pat Mahomes who tests positive. I don't know, but like any of that's possible. It makes it a much more Vegas-y gambit, I think, over the next 6 weeks with the virus running wild again and seeing what we had this week, specifically this week.
Well, and I think what you have to really look at is how much are these outbreaks with these teams? And this is why I go back to, you know, I'm far past, and this is me speaking personally, far past it being viewed as some kind of moral imperfection if you test positive, especially if you're vaccinated. I mean, again, you mentioned it. You've been out and done stuff. I do stuff now because I'm fully vaccinated and I believe in the vaccine. And I know even if I test positive, that's going to dramatically increase my odds of having a good outcome and not having a more severe case. But the point is, when you look at where this is occurring, you know, whether you're talking about Los Angeles with the Rams, whether you're talking about Cleveland in Ohio, that's where you do wonder, okay, these outbreaks, as much as we view the United States as one country, we know it is a very large geographic area related to talking about countries in Europe, right? I mean, you're talking about a huge part of the world. So what's going on in LA right now, I don't think is necessarily that the Rams did anything reckless or foolish or stupid or anything like that. It just seems they might have more Omicron that's going through right there. And what we understand from Omicron at this point is it's much more contagious than Delta from what we understand. So it might just be that it's going to be the luck of the draw of when there's community outbreak, it's probably going to be very difficult to hold this off, even with more intensive protocols. Now, you can certainly improve your odds of not having widespread positive tests, but are you going to eliminate that? I'm guessing probably not. So that's where the teams right now are trying to, you know, go back to some of the protocols from last year, you know, masking inside and virtual meetings or outdoor meetings or meetings in their field house where they can spread out more. And we'll see. Ultimately, it still may go through buildings and it still may be a case where there's only so much you can do because it is so contagious. But if that is the case, there is that sense of if it's more contagious, you know, talking in terms of football, not talking in society and the ramifications there, but there's that thought that if it burns through a team a little bit more quickly and you do have overwhelmingly vaccinated numbers, that maybe you get on the other end of it a little more quickly and then your team is okay after that. I don't know. Again, you know, that's conjecture. I don't know. I'm not speaking as though I'm an expert on it because I'm not. But you know, that's
where you're already an expert on Lamar's ankle. I can't expect anything out of your
exactly.
Week, you know?
Exactly. But
knowing
but,
all this science and stuff, it was like you're a school teacher or something.
Right. But that's the thing right now with these teams that we're seeing it with, you know, Washington. To me, that if you're the Ravens, you're probably looking at what's happening with Washington and kind of just holding your breath saying, well, you know, there's probably, even though there's player to player transmission going on, you know, the virus didn't just randomly show up in the facility. It means probably some players got it from somewhere in the community, someone in their family, a friend of theirs, whatever. So if it's that close by, that tells you that, you know, they might need to be bracing. It doesn't mean Chuck Clark is the start of it necessarily. It could be 2 weeks from now. So a lot of this is luck of, I don't want to say luck, you know, the probability, let's say, because luck implies something good, probability of when exactly it's going to hit your geographic region. And, you know, we're seeing it with certain teams. I don't think the Browns necessarily did anything wrong. You know, I think it's what we're living with right now. And that's why I've had
three friends in the last week, you know, test positive. I mean, yeah, like I have to get off the grid and shut their, one of them had to shut his business down for a week. It's terrible. Yeah,
I mean, it's right. I mean, but again, that's where I, you know, go back in a big picture sense where I'm just like, you know, I don't think we're not going to eradicate this. So I that's where I do question in the big picture, not right now in the big picture, you know, what is going to be the end game for this? Are we just going to test and test and test forever? Well, if we do, we're going to have some of this. I mean, that's just going to be inevitable. You know, when we're, you know, going back to the start of the year when we said we're going to continue to test vaccinated players and, you know, not saying that that's right or wrong or anything like that. It's just, it's going to be reality. You're going to have that. You know, people get the flu shot. Who get the flu shot every year could tell you they still get the flu, you know, certain times and all that. So, you know, these vaccines are not miracles. They're fantastic scientific developments. They're miraculous relative to other vaccine development, but that doesn't mean they're 100% that we're going to eliminate COVID, or you know, we're not going to have a case where some players are going to test positive from time to time, which we've seen all year. It's only this last week or so where it's really become much more dramatic, which makes you kind of imply, maybe this is the Omicron, which has been talked about, which we know is in the United States, has been for a while.
He is Luke Jones, science insider and reporter.
Not really, but I try to know enough that I can talk about it for 5 minutes. I'd much rather talk about the Ravens' chances of stopping Aaron Rodgers, which I don't know. We're gonna
maybe you don't want to talk about that. Maybe that's part of the issues. All right. Well, we will be sitting elbow to elbow drinking Royal Farms coffee to stay with the Ravens and the Packers on Sunday. Luke's been out in Owings Mills all week. All are brought to you by Royal Farms. Free coffee on Christmas. If you're a ROFO Rewards member, do it. Get it on the app. I had, you know, a password. I went through that this week with my apps and all that. So get yourself in point here. Get your points and take care of yourself. Luke, we'll see you at the game on Sunday. I don't know how it's going to turn out. That's why we bet on it, I guess. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.